And the next, would you write in orderliness? Just get your life in order.
Yeah.
Whether it's your office at home or your house or your garage, just in seasons of steadiness, just start bringing things in order. Clean your car, you know, wash it once a year. Go in there, get rid of the French fries that have been under your seat for 2 years, and that'll happen during seasons of steadiness.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, Pastor Wayne continues a message entitled, A Season of Steadfastness. We live in a world that is spinning at breakneck speed. There's a constant rush of adrenaline as we navigate through our day. And if life slows down just a bit, we try to speed it back up with a triple espresso. Make that a quad, just to keep from getting left behind. But from time to time, we need to slow down and take time to get our lives back in order. Here is Pastor Wayne with some very practical words of wisdom from God's Word, the Bible, in a message called A Season of Steadfastness.
There's wonderful television programs on TV. You know, you can sit there and, you know, there's two, three. If you just flip through the channels, there's like two, three stations. All these people preaching, preaching, preaching. There's a Hawaii one that's real good. But the rest, you know, just preach, 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 preach. And you can kind of feed off of that. That's fine. But, you know, let me tell you, the most accurate way that you'll get to know Jesus is through the Word of God. That's the only thing that's infallible and God-breathed. Preachers can make mistakes. They will have a certain slant on this and spin on that, albeit fine and noble. But let me tell you, you've got to have as a personal life discipline, you sitting at the feet of Jesus and letting His Word speak to you. And He will give you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. And that's what Peter says. Let's read the scripture. It'll come up on the screen. It's not in your notes, so you'll have to read it off of the screen. Read it with me, would you? Go. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So everything that is required will be released to us through getting to know Him more and more. Daily devotions. That's one of the personal life disciplines. Now here's the next one, and this is going to sound so banal, so kind of base that you're going to go, well, that's pretty dumb, that's worldly. It's not very spiritual, this is church, but this is real spiritual. And here it is, the second one is exercise and diet. Yes. See? Hey, there's a moving of the Holy Spirit happening right now. It's really true. You see, the Bible says that your body is a temple of the... Exactly. So we want to steward that. Now, I'm not talking about being big or being skinny or whatever. It's healthy. Are you healthy? Because there are some people that are really skinny and that's not healthy. There's some people that are big bone. That's why they're big. They're big bone, small bone, medium bone, bone heads. There's all kinds of bones. So I'm not really comparing size. I'm talking about health. Do you feel good about yourself? Because you see, the Bible says this, love your neighbor as, well, if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love one another? Because you hate yourself. You're not comfortable with yourself. Now listen very carefully. If you're not comfortable with yourself, you're going to start taking it out on others. It's really true. Because you don't like yourself. You don't like the way you are. You don't like the way you look. You don't like the way you feel, etc. You're going to have some pretty hard relationships around you because you have a tendency to project onto others what you feel about yourself. That's why one of the first most important things is to remember that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit and do the best you can to keep it healthy with what you eat, what you put into it, your diet, etc. Just stay healthy for God and for others' sake. It's so important. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says something very interesting about it's part of your worship. Let's read this. Go. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your, a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to whom? Yeah. Which is your spiritual service of, hey, you think worship is just in church where we go nuts, so that's a part of it. But I tell you what, your primary service of worship, presentation of worship is right here. It's who you are. Exercise and diet is very important to the Lord. Now, don't go overboard and weird and start eating like tree bark and, you know, and stuff like that. Not talking about that. Neither is it to try to be Mr. America and look like a nuclear gecko. No, I'm not. Those are like extremes. They're talking about exercise and diet to be, that's one of the life disciplines in the season of steadiness. I'm going to check and see how I'm doing. And then the next one, would you write in margins? Margins. Margins, which are rest moments. Rest moments. In Luke 5:16, oh, you should see this. Jesus was so busy, but watch, he took time to slip away. Let's read what the scripture says in Luke. Go. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. When would he slip away? Yeah, in your notes, circle that word, often. And the more I just chuck it at you. It's so funny. People are with it. Well, often, he would often slip away to the wilderness to pray, to get away. You know, I was raised for 30 years. My dad was in the Army as a first sergeant in the Army. He really was regimented. And whenever I would rest, I'd feel guilty. It's like I was weak. And so I would never take a break because you're not supposed to if you're going to be strong. Now, in sixth grade, when my parents split up and I went with my dad for a while, he made us, this is no exaggeration, our beds had to have a GI blanket over the top with a sheet folded by our pillow, had to be tucked in with hospital corners every morning at 6:30. It had to be done. 6:30. And my dad would actually come and check, and if it weren't tight, he would just rip the thing off and we'd have to redo it. He checked the Venetian blinds for dust. My shoes had to be polished in the hallway. I remember one time I forgot to polish around the soles of the shoe. And he had him on the side and he said, and he called me back and I was late for school and you polish these things. And I had to polish the sole part, I forgot. I had to polish his brass with Brasso and then put it on this velvet cloth every morning, very strict. And we did that for year after year. And so when I even became a pastor, I figured if I rested, I was weak. And so I lived that way until I realized that in the Bible, God commanded the people to take a Sabbath. Do you know that? Commanded them. And it was really hard for me. I have to admit it. It's very difficult because of my upbringing. And he said, I command you to take a Sabbath. Why? Because it's not because you're tired. You need to stop and desist. You know why? Because Wayne, you need to realize that you ain't the Messiah. And the world doesn't go around because you're involved in it. Try take a break, Wayne. Watch. The world keeps going on. Ooh. And you know what it was? It was an expression of my trust in God that I am one, not indispensable. That if God places me a part of a church, it's because of privilege and honor that I serve. I'm not indispensable. And I have to understand that, and that's a humility of heart that is birthed through taking Sabbath times. And the other is it refreshes your soul so that you're better when you come back. And the other is that for you to remember that you don't make the world go around, Jesus does. He's the one that keeps things going and says, you take a rest, you can say, I trust you, Lord, to keep the business going. I trust you that you can work through other people just like you do me. I trust you. It's an expression of trust. And I couldn't trust God until he said, Wayne, you take margins and you start doing that. I'm still learning that. Can I tell you how deeply embedded certain things are in a little kid in the formative years of his life and then try to unlearn them? That's really, really tough. But one of the things, and it's just a personal life discipline, are margins, and we need to do that. And then another basic that in seasons of steadiness that we need to work on and just execute. Just like everything I learned from the coach about the twist of my body, the reach that I have, the pull and the balance and the rhythm, I have to execute that again and again for 18 miles. That's where you'll either win or lose a race in the seasons of steadiness. Well, what are some others? Would you write down number 3? Your personal stewardship. Personal stewardship. How you steward things that God has given to you. And one of the first is, would you write in that first bullet, your finances. How you steward finances. Now listen, it's not how much you have, it's how well you steward what you have. It's not how much, it's how well. If God gives you much, are you stewarding that well? If he gives you a little, are you stewarding that well? Why is he so concerned about how we steward our finances? I'll tell you why. Let's read the next scripture. Go. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? You know what God is saying? The way you use finances and steward them is a boot camp. It's a simulator for the true riches and how you're going to steward those. Because if I don't steward this money well, then how's he going to entrust to me true riches of influence or impacting a person's life, his eternity, her eternity? The true riches of you being able to influence a city or a nation or a country. If you can't work with money, if you can't steward this, because this is kind of like fake riches, money, because that stuff's going to go and it changes value from state to state and nation to nation. It's just all discombobulated. But that's just like play money, as it were, monopoly. I've got true riches for you. But the way that you learn to steward true riches is the how you're doing the finances that you have here, stewarding them well. So steward them well. Check your finances. How are you doing? Get your checkbook. Balance it for once. Find out where you are. Find your checkbook. Just find it. You know, and go through it and get that in order so that God says, he's doing good. He's not making that much, but he's stewarding what he does make. That's good enough. I will start to give him or her true riches of influence, of notoriety that doesn't go to their head. You use it for the sake of the kingdom. I'll give this person more this or authority or that. And now I know that it won't be mutated. It won't be misused because you're doing well. Not how much, it's how well. And God says, now you're ready for true eternal riches. That's where the wealth really is, because then we influence people's lives forever kind of stuff. But it starts with finances. How well are we doing that? And those are some personal stewardship things. And the next, would you write in orderliness? Orderliness. Just get your life in order. Yeah. Just take a look at your, whether it's your office at home or your house or your garage, just in seasons of steadiness, just start bringing things in order. Clean your car, you know, wash it once a year. Go in there, get rid of the French fries that have been under your seat for 2 years and bits of hamburger. Just clean it. Get your life in order. And that'll happen during seasons of steadiness. And if it's really in shambles, did you know that you can actually hire businesses that will come and organize your office? Professional organizers. And I tell you, it's like a weight off your shoulder. They'll come in and show you how to do that and do it for you. I tell you, you'll feel so much better. Orderliness. Just get your life in order. Now, Psalm 50 in verse 23, although it's speaking about our relationship with God, let's take a look at more of a general application to Psalm 50 in verse 23, and it'll come up on the screen. Let's read it. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Now, as I said, that's a lot about our relationship with God, but it could have a further reaching application of just ordering your way aright, just getting your life in order. And that even has to do with you, the way you look, everything about you, your dress, the way you dress, your hair. Some of you may need to just go to a salon and, you know, get your hair cut. Some of you need to go and get it grown. Just all kinds of just different things. Now, what I'm about to say sounds really worldly, but it isn't. You know, I was talking to a United Airlines flight attendant, Aloha in Hawaiian. You know what they said? We have dress codes. They make us wear our hair the best way possible to fit our face, and we dress in such a way that it's clean because we're representing United or you know, Aloha or Northwest or Continental, whatever. And they dress really sharp, and they actually go to classes that show them what to wear, what not to wear, and how to wear their hair and how not to wear their hair. And I thought, if they do that because they represent United, how much more should we think about that? Because we represent the King of the Universe. And sometimes we say, whatever, you know, holo, you got to accept me like I am, bro. They will. People accept you just like you is. Rather than an ambassador for Christ. And so I remember getting up one morning and I was looking in the mirror and I was looking ugly that day. I just really ugly. And I thought, man, I'm ugly. And I just felt the Lord say to me, go get some help. You need help. And you know what I did? This is no joke. I actually went to a place that told me what colors I should wear and what colors I shouldn't wear. I was actually wearing wrong colors that made my face look all washed out and pale, like I was dead and a cadaver. And so I looked bad. And they said, if you wear those colors, it washes you out and makes your skin look putrid and pale and squalor, like you're, you know, it's ugly. And so you change, and they showed me the stuff to wear and what not to wear. Now, it sounds real worldly, but it isn't. You know why? Because I want to represent the King of Kings well, as best I can. Again, don't go overboard. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, put on, you know, a big ruby red lip. Hello, baby. No. Just as best you can to represent the Lord, as best you can. And so this is season of steadiness, and you work on those. And say, am I doing okay, Lord? I mean, like I said, don't go overboard. But and the other is planning. Would you write that in your next bullet? Planning. Sometimes we don't plan. We have no idea what's happening for the seasons, the holidays, what's happening next year, where we're going to be, is the family going to get together, what's happening this summer for this or that. I don't even know what's happening in the church. Get a calendar and put all of those things down and get your life in order. That's a part of personal stewardship. You're stewarding your time correctly. And you're saying, Lord, what are the things I need to emphasize in this season, and make sure that they're emphasized in your calendar so you know what's going on. You can plan. Some people say, hey, man, I just kind of move with the wind, you know. The Holy Ghost is just the move with the wind. I said, no. You know what? God plans. What? That's right. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. What? Yeah, God plans. You know that? Did you know that God planned salvation before the beginning of the foundation of the world? That was a few days ago. And he planned it that far in advance. The least we can plan is this next year. In fact, if you would plan a little bit, it's an expression of your obedience. What do you mean? Well, I know what God is asking me to emphasize in this next season of my life. Some certain things about my devotion, my family, my this, my that, my margins. And so I'm going to go into my calendar and I'm going to plan them. You know why? Because I'm trying my best to obey what God's telling me to do. It's not unspiritual, it's very spiritual. And that's why in a season of steadiness, work on planning. The scripture says this in Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Let's read it together. Go. The prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. You need to plan out in advance so that you can avoid the pitfalls and the potholes and all of the impediments and speed bumps, and try your best to plan things out. You'll see that the next season can be a very fruitful season because you stewarded a season of steadfastness well, and you went back to the basics and you executed them like it should be again and again. And then finally, in a season of steadiness, would you write down another final basic to really work on? Personal relationships. Personal relationships. You see, a lot of times we kind of fake it. We fake that we like people, and we have a run-in with somebody, and we just smile at them, and, you know, and let they come to church. Hi, brother. Gosh, I hate his guts. Hi, sister. You're ugly. Hi. Oh, just have this guy. And God is saying, hey, listen, life is far too short to kind of fake those things. If you're going to have relationships, let's just have them good. Because we're on a spinning globe. You're traveling at 6,600 miles an hour right now. And you're turning on the axis of 23 degrees and a few more spins. We're done, folks. And if we're going to end up before God, and God says, Wayne, you faked all your relationships. You didn't like half the people you met, but because you thought you were a pastor, you had to fake it. Yeah, you're right, Lord. Be genuine. And it's real easy. It's sort of like this. You have two options, not three. Two options. One is when you have a little run-in with somebody, just completely forgive them and say, I'm going to love them. And I refuse to speak evil of them. I'm not going to slander. I'm going to support them instead, because that is a person for whom Jesus Christ died. And if he loves them that much, then they should move to the top of my list. Now, I might not buddy-buddy with them because their style is different, their perspective is different, but I am not going to slander or bloodlet anymore. I'm done. I forgive them, and I entrust them to the Lord, and I'm going to bless them, as the Bible says. And just do that in your heart, and you're done. Or the other option is, if someone's closer to you and you have to work with that person, schedule a time where, without condescending, you go and speak to that person about certain things and try your best to work it out in a gracious spirit. And regardless of their response or reaction, because you do got to do it graciously though, even if they refuse, you've done your part to try your best to work it through, as the Lord says, to reconcile. If they refuse to reconcile, the Bible says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. In other words, even though they might shut the door to you, you keep yours open to them. And that has to be pre-planned before you talk to them, not after, because it's not dependent on their response. Your speaking to them is dependent on God's assignment, period. And you obey him. So if that person shuts their door on you, it's okay. I did what Jesus asked me to do, and I asked for his forgiveness, and I'll do my best to just keep that person before the Lord, and I'll move on. But I'm not going to have pretense in my heart. I'm going to love that person as best I can. And when I speak of that person, it will be no bloodletting, no sabotage, no slander. Life is too short for that. And I tell you, when you start making peace like that in your heart, it's like 1,000 pounds gets lifted off of you. I mean, there's such a rest that comes in your life when you start to realize, I really do love people. I love them all. Sure, there's people that have made some errors in my life, but I'm going to put that before the Lord. I'm going to let that be forgiven, and I'm just not going to hold anything. It's okay. They're different from me, and they're before God. I'm just going to do what God's asked me to do, and it's like 1,000 pounds have been lifted, and there's a rest that comes to my life. The third option, which is not an option, don't stay as you are and fake it. Let's read what the scripture says here under number 3 or 4. Ready? Go. Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. What he's saying is, don't keep faking it in broken relationships and attend church every week. Go get it right. Because that's even more important. And during a season of steadiness, do your best. Some of you may need to just write a note and say, please forgive me. I've kind of marginalized you for a long time, and that's wrong of me. I don't think that way anymore. Please forgive me for that. Thank you. Just know that I will hold you before the Lord, and I ask God's best blessing on you from this day forward. And I will commit myself to speak well of you in private and public. Thank you. And then send those things out and just kind of release them. Does that mean they'll change? Probably not. Just be kind, though, and they may. But it really does release you and gives you rest, because we don't have that much time. In a season of steadiness, start to apply all the basics that you've learned and just stay steady. And when that happens, great roots will grow. And this next season very well may be the most fruitful you'll ever have because of what you did in this season. So you want to be genuine. Don't keep faking it. Just say, nope, I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. There's a story of three guys that went to heaven. And there was a Japanese guy and a Portuguese guy and a Hawaiian guy. And Peter was there to let them into heaven. And he said, you guys got to be genuine, because you haven't been genuine. You've been faking it about yourself. You've not been humble. You've been overestimating yourself. And you just got to start saying things right. And I'm going to ask you one question, and that's going to be your entry into heaven. If you say something that's not genuine, you're poof. You're going to vaporize. You're going to go someplace you don't want to go. So he said to the Japanese guy first. And this guy had so much pride in him, because he thought he was real cool. So Peter said, now, what do you think about yourself? The Japanese guy said, hey, I think I smart. Poof, he's gone. And Peter turned to the Hawaiian guy, and the other said, hey, come on, you guys, be genuine. Have a humble heart. Hawaiian guy, what do you think about yourself? The Hawaiian guy said, hey, I think I'm good looking. Poof, he was gone. And, oh, man, Peter said, come on. He turns to the Portuguese guy, come on, now, what do you think? And the Portuguese guy said, well, I think, poof, he was gone. That Got to be genuine. Got to be no more faking. Personal relationships. Make sure all of that gets clean so that there's a sense of genuineness amongst us all. And when you cooperate with the season of steadiness, this next season will be the most fruitful. You watch. You wait. You'll see.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled A Season of Steadfastness by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.